Yeah. This has been the best segment I've ever done on this show, and I've really done very little.
Okay. Holly said it best. I said fart in the bathtub. She said gross.
I love Matt Hamilton.
You are 1,000,000% right, Jim. That should be a drop, too.
Thank you.
Dynamite drop in, my guy.
Thank you.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
That is Jason Wilde's theme music. I'm Jim Rutledge in the Everlight Solar Studio. Primetime Warshine behind the glass. We got Molly Brown in Milwaukee, and we are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde. Jason, how are you doing today?
Well, I'll be better if Molly or Wooly disconnects Molly after she's done doing the show for Milwaukee. Because a couple of times after that's occurred, someone who connects to the same connection in the morning can't get connected. So,
well, okay,
I don't know whose fault that is, but now everyone knows.
You know, I would say that might be the fault of the producer from 9 to noon, who would not then tell the producer from 4 to 6, "Hey, make sure there's a disconnection because this has been a recurring issue," and let it just fester until Jason has to bring it up on the show. I feel like that would be the proper way to do that. If you were asking me.
The producer that gets there at 8:55 a.m.?
Yeah, come on.
So a little inside baseball, and I'll give you guys, you know, bonus time since I'm going to be doing this to you. I like to try and get a workout in, because as you can tell by looking at me, I'm very physically fit. And so I like to connect the video before I work out so that I can parachute in after I'm done, throw a hat on and do the show. And every time Molly's in Milwaukee, I'm not connected. So I appreciate the constructive feedback for Jesse. I couldn't agree with it more. And I think we can all agree that this is primarily Jesse's fault. Now we can enjoy our time together.
Fantastic. And on that, laughter is such a great way. And I think you'll laugh at this. I don't know if Coach LaFleur would laugh at it, but I have to assume, and obviously you're not in the locker room for post-game speeches or pre-game speeches from Coach LaFleur, but have you had a chance to see Coach LaFleur talk to the Badger basketball team after their big win over Michigan State?
I did. I thought he was very compelling.
Yeah,
he crushed it, nailed it.
Well, we got it for our team. You can see it on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream right now, because that was not the words that I used or Molly used. But let's go ahead and let's hear it.
Every time you step on that court, you play like that, you'd be tough, a really tough team to beat. But that was fun to watch. Keep it rolling now, one day at a time. We're stacked it.
How many cliches can you fit into 15 seconds? Because I think LaFleur might have set the record.
No, there were so many more he could have weaseled in there. There's no doubt about it. If you're going to lean into the cliches, you got to get like three or four more in there, I would think. No,
you could have, yeah. So you know him, and I can't imagine this is how he is with the team. Like, what do you think? Like, was this like a last minute he wasn't expecting to talk thing? Like, what do you think happened here? That, and also the Badgers did him dirty by posting that. Like, you could have just pocketed that and been like, you know what, we don't need to post it. We just post a picture with LaFleur with the team.
First of all, totally agree with part B of that statement. Like, you have the, again, I know everybody's social media teams function differently, but it does seem like a lot of the social media folks in that space think, well, any engagement is good engagement. So even if he looks kind of like a doofus, that's cool, right? Because people are still clicking it and commenting or whatever. I've obviously never been in there for a first of all, a losing post-game speech, right? Like, those are the ones I'd like to hear, right? Because those are a hell of a lot harder. And they never post those on social media, oddly enough.
Right.
Look, that's not his team, right? Mm-hmm. I would assume that he, you know, doesn't want to go overboard. It's not, you know, he played high school basketball. He's got some basketball in his background, but he's no great guard. But I would say this, and I think no matter what level you coach at, you have to be a couple things when you talk, right? You have to be authentic, right? You have to be speaking from the heart, right? Like, that's what people connect with. And then you got to have some sort of enthusiasm or angle that engages people. And your criticism is fair there. There's no two ways about it. But, like, I always thought Mike McCarthy, you know, whether it was on the eve of Super Bowl 45, having the guys get their fingers sized for their rings, like, or the kind of loose approach he took where he had that defensive tackle, his last name was Wilson, if I remember correctly, playing the piano. Like, I just think that, you know, Mike Sherman, if you ask Tausch, Mike Sherman was at his best when he, like, was really connective about, like, being a dad and those types of things with his players. And so, you know, that's like a 30-second, oh, we let Matt LaFleur in the locker room. Give a pep talk, coach! Kind of a thing. So I'm sure he thinks through things for his own team and probably prepares them a lot more effectively.
Well, that kind of leads me to something. Yeah, for sure. And that kind of leads me something to what Evan Cohen has said on our show before, and I know this was before the whole Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst extension, so it's, I don't know, a month or so old probably, but his idea was that the Packers needed to bring in somebody or somebody on the staff that has some grit to them. And since they ended up extending LaFleur and Gutekunst, like, who in their locker room do you think provides that for them, Jason?
Yeah, I guess let me turn that around on, well, you and Evan, I guess, since, and Evan's not here, so I'm going to stick you with it. Like, how do we define grit? What does it look like? And is it words? Is it actions? Like, does Sean McVay have grit?
No.
He's got something to him. I don't think he has the same that, like, Dan Campbell or Mike Vrabel has, but he's got something about him.
He's got charisma. I would definitely say he's got charisma.
Yeah.
Does
Kyle Shanahan have grit?
Yeah, I would say he actually does seem to have grit. Just the way his team plays.
Agree.
Yeah, yeah.
He's quiet, though. He's quiet, though.
He is, exactly. So it's just, and I'm not dodging the question. Does Ben Johnson have grit, or is he just a jerk?
We don't know. I think that's still TBD.
Okay. Kevin O'Connell, does he have grit?
I think he's very similar to LaFleur.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's like I've seen them do some locker room stuff that they've posted, and like he is so good about his connectivity to guys. Like, you can just see those guys love him, and he's not gritty, but he is very good at connectivity. And so,
but he might not, like, need to be gritty if they have Brian Flores, right?
Correct. Exactly. Great point, Molly. And so, you know, I don't know. Again, I still haven't met Jonathan Gannon. It is February 17th. He was hired 8 days after the Packers season ended, which was on January 10th. So we are a month in now to his tenure, and we have not spoken to him, which, as you can imagine, irritates me to no end. Not that, like, again, like, I'm still getting my paychecks, but, like, fans want to hear from the dude, man. Like, again, I still do my job. It's not no skin off my back, or whatever that saying is. But, like, I want to talk to him. I want to get a feel for if he has grits, right? I mean, he punched one of his guys in the stomach while he's with Arizona, right? So, is that grit? So, I don't know who gives that, because, like, I guess because he's so vital to the culture and we've heard so much about it, I guess that Rich Bisaccia provides some of that. But if Evan wants to argue that their coaching staff isn't gritty enough, I don't think I have enough evidence to refute that. But I think, Molly, I think your line there was great. Like, there are certain coaches or certain teams that the head coach doesn't have to have it. But I think what your point was is somebody does. And And, like, was Jeff Hafley gritty? No, I didn't think so. He's a really good talker. But his defense was damn good, right? I mean, obviously not in the fourth quarter of that playoff game, but overall his defense was really good. So I just – it's a really interesting question that I don't feel like I have a very good answer to.
Well, I think you kind of talked a little bit around the idea of – I think some of those coaches you can list, even the ones who necessarily weren't gritty, there's a clear identity to and a clear way you can see why they're effective. And, I mean, even – I mean, not even you listed. You can see what they have. They seem to be truly willing to – what's the word here? Be vulnerable with their players and let them see who they are, whether it is the, you know, like for an example, Ben Johnson might be a jerk, but Caleb Williams basically said that Ben Johnson's like my best friend in the world right now. And so they've created that relationship. And obviously Shanahan with his entire team has created an identity that mirrors him. Do you see that with the, like, what is LaFleur's coaching strength, his superpower that he brings to this team?
So I do think, regardless of how awkward we may have thought his speech to the Badgers was, I think he's really good with his connectivity with his players, but primarily one-on-one, which is a lot like his quarterback, right? Which, again, I think goes into our conversation about grit. Like, they don't – that is not the superpower, or that's not the first thing you think of with those two guys, right? And maybe that's something where you look and go, I wonder how that factors in to their success or lack thereof, that they don't have kind of those complementary personalities from the two highest profile people that dictate their success or failure. I also think that he's extremely smart and has really good ideas. Now, you know, I think there's also a discussion to be had about how much is he, I don't want to say hamstrung, but affected by the younger nature of their roster. Now, that wasn't the case on offense this past season for sure. But, like, is he just getting to the point now where he could be more, have more complexity to what he wants to do offensively? And they're getting to a point where all those guys can have that this year. And then if he lets, you know, they let Dobbs walk this year. They let Wicks and or Reed walk next year. They let Luke Musgrave walk next year. Like, suddenly then do you reduce his effectiveness with how smart he is? Because now you got to dumb it down again for you're replenishing the roster. That's one of the reasons why this 1.6 draft picks per class being signed to second contracts that Goody believes in, I just don't love it. Because I do think that, you know, the more I think back to those Rodgers teams, and obviously they had a four-time MVP, a quarterback, which certainly helps. But, like, think about what Adams and Nelson and Jones and Cobb were able to do with Rodgers in terms of knowing just with a wink or an eye. Just last night I finished the Rise of the 49ers documentary that was on AMC. And I just thought with Montana and then later Young with Jerry Rice, I was like, this is the stuff that you get when you're together a long time. And the Packers philosophically are just never going to have that. And the quarterback may not be the demanding guy who, oh, you missed my wink and you ran the wrong route and now I hate you and I'm going to throw my arms up in the air at you. But, like, there is value in getting to the point where you can do some of those subtleties and you have a quarterback who's not going to be a jerk about it if you fail. So, again, I'll just say this. I am super fascinated about this coming off season because if you're going to be, well, we believe in, you know, draft and develop, and then you let all these guys walk in free agency. I mean, there's a chance that they let Rashid Walker, Sean Ryan, Romeo Doubs, Kingsley Enagbare, Malik Willis all walk, right, from their free agent class. And I just don't know how you replenish that and hit the ground running early in the season and not take longer than you want to hit your stride, and by then maybe you aren't able to win the division, which should be your goal. Because right now, they got to get a home game. They have yet to play a home playoff game in the Jordan Love era, and that would help their chances. And then we'd spend a little less time judging the coach's grit level. And like we did this morning on our show, we're still talking about how good is Jordan Love. Because he got rated 14th in that NFL.com thing. And I'm like, look, yeah,
ridiculous.
He ain't top five, but 14th is insane.
Yes. Like I said, I think he's somewhere between 12 and 8 each year. But so on that, we did have this question out there, and it's unfair, Jason. But if you were going to divide up the pie chart of blame, who gets the biggest chunk of blame why the Packers have not reached the Super Bowl in the Jordan Love era? Is it Jordan Love? Is it LaFleur? Is it Goody? Obviously, they're all held responsible, but which one of those do you think carries the biggest burden there?
Well, I think Jordan Love bears the least, right? I think that much is – I think that I feel very strongly about. Boy, after that, because you guys know how I feel about Goody, that I just – I feel like he escapes criticism at a much higher level than he should. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go 25% Jordan Love, 38% Matt LaFleur, 37% Goody. Does that add up? Did I do the math right there?
Ryan, you wear glasses. Was he right?
Ryan?
Yeah.
Ryan, you wear glasses.
That is the qualification around here, Jason.
Take that for data.
He's the nerd.
Yeah, that's 100%.
Yeah.
38, 37, 25. Yep. Good.
Boom. That's what you get for being a valedictorian.
There you go. Jason, thank you so
much. Humble brag.
Sick brag. Yeah, no kidding.
It's not that impressive. I didn't get a full ride to Madison. It didn't do me a damn bit of good.
Cool.
Ryan, thanks, where did Jason. You, what was your? Yeah, thanks, Jason. We appreciate it.
All right, I'm leaving now. Thanks. Yeah. Bye.
thank you.